Pastor. Acts chapter 20, if you have your Bibles tonight. We're going to Acts chapter number 20. I thank the Lord for your preacher. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. And I really trust you're thankful for a pastor that has a vision. You know, not just, and we ought to reach our Jerusalem, but not just our community, but the world. The Bible says the field is the world, and God loves the world. I'm thankful for His vision. Thank you for letting me be here. We're getting to know each other a little bit. I'm not sure that's a good thing. Some of you folks, I'm getting to know a little bit more about you. But, you know, when you show up at a meeting, people kind of look at you and say, you know, who are you? And I was reminded about that lady who showed up for church late one Sunday morning. The service had already started. An usher met her at the back and said, "We'll just sit you right back here, ma'am." She said, "No, I'd like to sit right in the front row." And the usher said, "You know, we really don't want to do that. You know, everything's in progress. If you could just sit back here, that'll help us. You'll be more comfortable and you'll not be embarrassed," and so on. And she said, "No, I really want to sit in the front row." And he said, "Look, ma'am, I'll just level with you. Is this your first time here? Our pastor's kind of boring. And I'd hate to bring you right up there in the front row and have you get embarrassed, or, you know, sometimes he just goes on and on and on, and you just sit right back here and everything will be better." And she got real indignant. She said, "Sir, do you know who I am?" And he said, "No." She said, "I'm the pastor's mother." And he said, I'm really sorry." He said, do you know who I am?" She said, "No." He said, "Good," and walked out the side door. So, you know, we get to know each other a little bit, and hopefully we'll not embarrass each other or offend each other, but Brother Chip will probably offend you, I don't know, if you get to know him. So, wasn't that a great presentation about Mongolia? I mean, I'd get stirred up thinking about that place and the needs and, honestly, think about this. Are we more special than they are? I'm an American, all right, so don't get offended at this. I'm an American. But for 29 years, I've lived outside of America, all right? And I love America. But we come up with more Sunday school schemes to try to get a few more people in. We try to tell a few more jokes and a few more stories to try to keep everybody entertained, while the vast majority of the world never heard the gospel. Think about it. The vast majority of the world, they don't even understand what a vacation Bible school is. They don't even know what a Bible is. May God help us to see through God's eyes. And I'm thankful for this meeting and what it's doing. Everybody doing something. Can you say that with me? Everybody doing something. And everybody doing something more than they've ever done before. Faith Promise Missions Giving is your part in God's program. Your part in God's program. And I hope that Sunday will be a great day in your life as you do more than you've ever, ever done before. Hopelessly lost, a man pulled his car into an abandoned gas station out in the middle of the desert. There was nobody there, just an old owl sitting on a cactus. If you can imagine this man asking this owl for directions, he said, "Can you tell me the fastest way to get into town?" And the owl looked at that man and said, "Are you driving or walking?" He said, "I'm driving." He said, "That's the fastest way." That's the fastest way. Faith Promise Missions Giving is the fastest way to help missionaries get to the field and get the gospel around the world. Acts chapter 20, let's begin our reading at verse number 18. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 18. "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews.
and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that befall me, that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Either count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock of the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. They all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship. Can we for a few moments tonight think about this subject through God's eyes concerning giving? Through God's eyes concerning giving. This is a wonderful passage for every pastor who's had a sweet time of building, establishing, planting an indigenous Baptist church. That really is at the heart of this passage in Acts chapter 20. Paul is saying goodbye to some people that he loved. This must be a very difficult thing for a preacher to do. I've not had to do this. For 29 years, my wife and I and family have served in the same place. We've had a wonderful ministry, actually a joyful ministry. It's great to serve where people love you. Not every pastor has that experience. I can remember seeing the cartoon of a pastor standing at the pulpit. Next to him were a few boxes and some suitcases, and the caption read, "And now for the sermon I've been waiting to preach for a long time." Paul gives us so many wonderful things in this message. He touches important issues. Issues like growth in verses 18 through 21. Issues like guidance in verses 22 and 23. Issues like having the right goal, verse 24, none of these things move me. Issues like guarding God's church, verse 25 through verse 31. Issues of grace, verse 32. And issues of giving, verses 33 through 35. I call your attention to verse 35 as the basis of our message. Can we read it again? And I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Think about the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Through God's eyes concerning giving, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. These words are difficult for us to believe and practice today, are they not? But Jesus said it. Paul rehearsed it. He repeated it. He encouraged the church at Ephesus. He said, don't forget these words. Remember these words. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. A brief examination of the situation in many Christian homes today would dispel the notion that we are practicing the right philosophy concerning possessions. Think with me about it. The average person brings up a family in a house that's mortgaged for 30 years, drives a car that has a 5-year car loan, a payment schedule on it. Many sleep in mortgaged beds, sit on couches that aren't paid for. Vacations are paid off in time. New clothes and possessions are bought on credit cards. The average Christian in America today ends up owing his soul to a bank or a finance company. It's easy to do, isn't it? So easy. I mean, every week in my mailbox at home, I get an envelope saying that I'm already pre-approved and pre-qualified for some platinum MasterCard or some gold Visa card. And after I tear that one up and throw it away, the next day I deal with the American Express. Someone boasted, said, man, last week I paid my Visa off with my MasterCard. We've got to be so careful. Because we can be tied down. And many people would like to do more, but they can't. They'd like to step out and go somewhere, but they've found themselves in bondage. Stewardship is important, isn't it? And I often think about missions conference as a time to reevaluate, because really the Great Commission is about being a steward of our life and our livelihood. Samuel Tam is a Christian millionaire. He's written a book, God Owns My Business. And in that book he writes, a good steward is not one who has a given sum of money to dispense and then waits for people to tell him where to dispose of it. He says, no, a good steward is a man to whom God has entrusted time and materials. A man who subsequently looks to God himself for direction as to best utilize all that which he has to give. By the way, it's interesting that Tam demonstrated this truth early in his life by making God, through a nonprofit corporation, the legal senior partner in his business. Earning and then dispensing. The Bible calls it laying up treasure in heaven. Someone has said there are three types of givers. There are flint givers. To get anything out of flint, you have to hammer it. And then you only get some chips and sparks along the way. And then they said there are sponge givers. To get water out of a sponge, you have to squeeze it. And eventually, the more pressure you put upon it, you get the water out of it. Oh, thank God for the third type, honeycomb givers. They just continually overflow with sweetness. I like your theme for this conference. I don't know if you picked up on this. I'm choosing to use it in my messages. Through God's eyes concerning giving. And if you would look through God's eyes concerning this subject of giving, you would see, first of all, priority and giving. priority in giving. Did you know that giving is high priority on God's list? Hey, what's that great verse that we all learned as children in Sunday school? Say it with me, would you? For God so loved the world that He gave. Let's just stop right there. For God so loved the world that He had nice, bubbly, sentimental thoughts about His creation. For God so loved the world, He gave. Priority and giving. Look at our verse, our text again tonight, verse 35. And I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than receive. The Scripture teaches us priority. Hey, did you get it? Giving is better than getting. Giving is better, the Bible said, Jesus said, than receiving. Hey, that's what the Bible teaches. Do you believe the Bible? It's more blessed to give than receive. We just have a hard time believing that statement is true. And if you don't believe that most people have a hard time believing Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, then after church tonight, let's go down to Walmart. Let's stand in front of Walmart with a $10 bill and let's say to the people as they come into Walmart, hey, would you like to give me $10 tonight, or would you like me to give you $10 and see what happens? And yet Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Can we have a little Bible study tonight? Good, I'm glad you agree. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Notice the priority concerning giving. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. And look at this. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. Why? Because of priority in giving. The Bible says don't honor the Lord with what you have left over, what you think about down the road. No, the Bible says honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of all thy giving. And notice that the Bible says all thy increase, verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God takes notice of people who believe it's more blessed to give than to receive. Hudson Taylor was a great missionary in China. After finishing a hard day of work, he was asked by a poor man to visit and pray for his sick wife. This man lived in a part of town that Taylor had not been well received in. In fact, as he would one day been distributing gospel tracts in that particular area, he was mistreated. And yet this man lived in that part of the town, and Hudson knew that God wanted him to go there, and the man led him to a very pitiful house where his sick wife was and his children. It was obvious to Taylor that these folks were so poor that they were actually starving. Hudson Taylor had a big heart for God and for people. I mean, you don't leave your family and go to a place like China and live amongst those people unless you have a heart for God and for God's people. Hudson Taylor wrote these words, if I had 2 shillings and 6 pence instead of half a crown, how gladly should I have given 1 6 pence of it? In fact, he reasoned like you and I reason. God, if I had more, God, you know I'd give more to this poor family and help this family. Well, you know the story. Before the visit was over, he had given everything that he had in his pocket. He gave that half a crown. And then he wrote these words later. Not only was that poor woman's life saved, he said, but in giving to that family, my life was saved. I fully realized And I cannot tell you how often my mind has recurred to that incident, or the help it has been to me in circumstances of difficulty and afterlife of trusting God and just believing God. You see, folks, the Bible places priority about our giving. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. I think about what Paul the Apostle wrote concerning the church at Philippi as he wrote the book of Philippians. He says, "Ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." He said, "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity." He said, "Not because I desire a gift." He said, "But I desire fruit that may abound to your account." He says, "But I have all and abound." He says, "I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Priority and giving. Dr. Lee Robertson has been with the Lord now for many months now. I know you know for 40 years he pastored the great Highland Park Baptist Church. I just can't even imagine this. In 40 years of ministry, he baptized 60,000 people. 60,000 people, that's 1,500 a year for 40 years. Put it in perspective, that's 29 a Sunday. Not just 29 on a special Sunday, but 29 every Sunday. Every Sunday, 29 people for 40 years. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He was a great giver. His testimony, he said, "I felt led of God to start Tennessee Temple College in 1946. He said, "We had no money. We had no buildings. We had no students." Some people said I was foolish. I talked to some men and they'd say, "Lee, don't start it. Don't try it." But God led me and we began. He said, "From the beginning, God blessed the school. We had no students, but God sent us students. We had no buildings, but we prayed and God sent us buildings." One day, a young fellow came to see me. He said, "Pastor Robertson, I'm from New York City. Evangelist Hyman Appleman told me to come and see you." He told the story how he had been saved in a meeting that Hyman Appleman was preaching in. He said, "Go see Brother Robertson. He'll tell you what you ought to do next." He said, "So, Pastor Robertson, here I am. What should I do next?" He said, "I didn't know what to tell him to do." He said, "So I said, you stay here with us." I put him in one of our dorm rooms, and he stayed there. He said, "I fed him 3 meals a day, and he ate them." He said, "I thought, good night, this fella's never going to leave here." One day he came to see me and he said, "Pastor, I'm leaving. I feel God wants me to go back to New York City and start a business." He said, I prayed with him and we sent him on his way. I said, "God bless you." I thought, good night, this deadbeat's been living off me for all these months. I guess he ought to go back to New York City and do something. He said, I didn't think much about it. But one day, I got a check from this fellow in the mail. And in that letter was that check for $12 million. $12 million. Priority in giving. It is more blessed to give than receive. And you have no idea. You have no idea what God has in store for you or this church when you step out and believe Him. and give as God would have you to give. I think about our priorities and I think about false religionists tonight and the way that they give. Not long ago, I preached in London, Ontario. It's about 2 hours from where I live. And I preached for an independent Baptist church that purchased an old Kingdom Hall from the Jehovah's Witnesses. The pastor told me how the Jehovah's Witnesses had not only raised all the money, but in 1 week's time, men and qualified people from all sorts of different places around Canada and the United States assembled and in 1 week's time constructed that entire building. Do you think that could happen in independent Baptist circles today? We'd have to have a revival before that could happen. A missionary in India related a story of observing heathen worshipers throwing their children into the holy river as an act of worship and giving for their God. He noticed one mother with twins, one of them healthy and beautiful, and the other malformed, diseased, and likely to die soon. He watched in astonishment as the mother threw the healthy, beautiful child in the river, giving her God her very best. Giving and priority. Secondly, tonight, as I think about through God's eyes concerning giving, I think about prayer and giving. Not only priority and giving, but prayer and giving. I would like you to turn to Luke chapter 11, and while you're turning, let me remind you of one of the great promises of the Bible in Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Prayer and giving. Look at this passage with that in mind. Verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Listen, the Bible talks about prayer and giving. Prayer and giving. Jesus said we ought to pray, God, give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need, God. Give to me what I need so that I can serve you and give to others. In expanding that, the Lord makes great application in verse 5 and following about a friend showing up and saying at midnight, lend me 3 loaves. I've got a friend that's come on a journey and I'm empty-handed. I don't have anything to give him. And so what we do when we don't have what others need is we go to somebody who has it. Do you have what this world needs? But we know somebody who does. Do you have everything that you need to give a great faith promise offering and commitment? And we would say no. At least I hope you can say no. Because friend, if you have it and you're not even thinking about how you're going to meet it, then you don't have to have any faith. And so the Bible says we go to somebody who has it and we say, give it to me so I can give it away. Give it to me so I can give it away. Give it to me so I can give it away. Do you get the picture? Prayer and giving. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want you to know something. God will answer this kind of prayer. Dr. Dallas Billington founded the Great Akron Baptist Temple in Akron, Ohio. At one time, it was the citadel of Baptist fundamentalism. I've read his book, My God is Real, several times. He relates the story how that in the 1930s, their building program came to a screeching halt. Can you imagine this? They needed $5,000. $5,000. An elderly lady had been trying to get Dr. Billington to visit her for weeks now. But he was busy and, you know, had a lot of things to do, and he kept putting it off and putting it off, and he'd take it from this week and transfer it to the next week, and he never got over to see her. Finally, one day he had a funeral in the area where that lady lived, and he said, after that funeral, I'm going to go see her. And he did. After sitting in the house for a few minutes, the lady got up and left the room and came back with an old shoebox and a string tied around that shoebox. Dr. Billington listened in amazement as she said, Brother Billington, in this shoebox is $5,500 and it's for you. I heard you praying on the radio the other day that you needed $5,000 to finish your building program. Here is the money to finish your building program and $500 extra for whatever you think God would have you to use it for. You know that God will enable you not only to pray and give to meet the needs of others, God will enable you to be one of His channels, His vessels that He uses. Isn't that a great thought? Some people receive from the Lord like this. Oh, dear God, thank you so much. Oh, man, I just needed that. Thank you, God. Oh, yes. Oh, dear Lord, yes, thank you, thank you. And other people understand why God gives to us in the first place. Oh, dear God, thank you for, I can now be a blessing. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. Yes, God. Oh, thank you, God. Yes, amen. And through God's eyes, we think about prayer and giving. Isn't that what 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is all about? At the tail end of that great passage on faith promise, the Bible says in verse 10 of chapter 9, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Pray and trust God. And the Bible says God will answer that prayer, and you'll be a blessing to somebody else who's praying. These missionaries are praying, oh dear God, send us to the right churches so that they can partner with us and support us. And you're praying, dear God, give to us so that we can give to them. Priority in giving. Prayer and giving. My third and final point is very profound. It's really very simple. But as we think about through God's eyes and giving, think about this. People and giving. People and giving. According to a survey I read recently, the percentage of those who tithe in fundamental Baptist churches is 50%. 50%. Now, I don't know if Mountain Lake Independent Baptist Church is a typical fundamental church as in that survey, but if it is, then on Sunday we can have all the members come up and go, one, two, one, two, one, two. You tithe, you don't. 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 Now, I would like to think that this church is above the normal. Amen? Can you imagine? Can you imagine what God would do in our churches if everybody tithed? Can you imagine the needs that would be met? Can you imagine how God would bless those churches and how God would bless those people? I heard about the conversation between currency at the recycling plant. Dollar bills were talking to $5 bills and $10 bills, we're talking to $20 bills, and $100 bills, we're talking to $50 bills, and the hundreds and fifties and twenties were talking about all the places they had been, and the fine dining establishments, and the tourist attractions, and the recreational events, and some $1 bills were over here crying, and they looked over and said, "Man, what's wrong with you?" And those dollar bills were saying, "Man, all I ever did was go to church, go to church, go to church." Isn't it amazing how big a $20 bill looks during the offering? How small it looks at Walmart? One of the CNN headlines, 1999, was this: armed robber holds up church during Easter service. It happened in Louisiana, and there were about 100 people in that church that morning. A gunman with a ski mask entered that New Orleans church 15 minutes into the morning service. He held a gun to a member's head and ordered the worshipers to the floor. He took the offering from the offering plate and was disappointed with the results. He left grumbling that there were too many $1 bills in the offering that morning. People and giving. Down through Christian history, there have been lots of people who have caught the vision. In fact, you can read their biographies. There's quite a few Christian millionaires who tithe their millions, but really it started when all they had were nickels. I've read with interest about R.G. Letourneau, who eventually was giving 90% of his entire income to the work of God. Or people like Henry Crowell, who is of Quaker Oats renown, 60 to 70% of his income. I read recently a book called The Generosity Factor, written by J. Truett Cathy. Maybe you've eaten at Chick-fil-A at some point in time. And how God owns his business and how much he gives to the work of God. I've read about William Colgate. Age 16, he had to leave home because his father was too poor to support him. And he actually pushed him out the door and said, "Son, you're going to have to make your own living. You're going to have to provide for yourself." And he trudged away with all his worldly possessions dangling in a bundle from his hand. And he journeyed to set up a business as a soap maker in New York City. When he arrived, he found it hard and he found it difficult. But he remembered the words of his mother and said, "Son, honor God with all your money, and God will never let you down." So when he made his first dollar, he sacredly dedicated 10 cents to the Lord. This continued, and dollars began to roll in. Soon this young man, as a soap maker, found himself in partnership with another individual. Eventually that other individual died, and he became the sole owner of this business. He began to prosper. He told his bookkeeper, he said, "I want you to open an account to the Lord." And I want you to credit to that account 10% of every dollar we make in this business. Pretty soon, he said, I want you to dedicate 2/10 to that account. Pretty soon, I want you to dedicate 3/10. Pretty soon, 4/10. Pretty soon, 5/10. Pretty soon, he's making so much money. He said, now we're just going to put 100% of all of that we prosper into that account. And of course, William Colgate and Colgate products today are a name that you and I would know very well. But God blessed because here was a man that learned to give people in giving. You say, yeah, I'm not a millionaire. No, you probably never will be unless you learn to give. You say, what in the world do you mean? Find Luke chapter 6 in your Bibles. Luke chapter 6. I want you to think about what I just said. People and giving. People and giving. Notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Luke 6, 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. How will it be given back after we give? Here it is. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall, what's the word, church? Men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Notice the emphasis in verse 38 on people. The Bible says as you give, God takes notice and people give back. God uses people. It's always been that way. People pray. People sing. People play the instruments. People cut the grass. People print the tracts. People teach the Sunday school lessons. People write the literature. People build the buildings. People give. People give. People give. I've watched God do it through people for others. I've never stopped being thrilled at watching Bible college students who have their own school bills to pay go into the office and say, I want to help pay somebody else's school bill. What an amazing blessing. Sometimes I've seen some of those people do that and I've wanted to say to them, wait a second here. Don't get too overboard on that. But I've watched how God has blessed them. I've watched God do it through others for me. Not only have I watched God do it through people for others, I've watched God do it through people for me. When we first moved to Canada in 1980, our church was voted least likely to succeed. And I know that's true because I made the motion. Man, I'm telling you, times were tough. Times were tough. And I can remember sometimes going out to the car and seeing an envelope tucked under the windshield wiper, and I'd pull it out and open it up, and there'd be a $50 bill in it. Or going home, and there'd be a couple of bags sitting on the front porch, and those bags would be full of groceries. We moved in June of 1980 to Canada. My wife was 5 months pregnant. Baby was born in that the fall of that year, 1980. We went home to see her family in Michigan for a few days over Christmas, and we were just living in this small apartment. Honestly, wasn't anything special at all. In fact, it was less than special. And when we got back from that trip, some people in our church had wallpapered the kitchen and fixed up some of the things around that apartment. You say, is that a big deal? It's a big deal with my wife. It's a big deal. I can remember a Bible college student. This is humbling. I can remember a Bible college student coming into my office in the mid-80s. My wife had had a miscarriage. And we have socialized medicine in Canada. That's another sermon and subject. We're not even going to get on that. But we were visiting my father in the state of Tennessee. She had a miscarriage during that trip and ended up in the hospital for a few days. And the medical coverage that we had in Canada didn't cover it all in the States. And a few weeks after, we got a medical bill. And I can remember a few months into the college semester that followed that, a man in our Bible college coming to me and saying, "Pastor," he said, I know you've got some expense with that." And he said, "I believe God wants me to pay it. I believe God wants me to pay it." That's humbling. If you think receiving, by the way, I don't think the Spirit is like this here in this church, but if you think missionaries travel around just because it's an easy way to make money, then sign on for 3 or 4 months. Don't ever call them moochinaries. Unless you're willing to go to Mongolia. I've watched God do it through people for others. I've watched God do it through people for me. And one of the great blessings is I've watched God do it for me to help other people. What a blessing. And I want to tell you something. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And folks, let's face it tonight. It's not going to come down from the sky. Money does not grow on trees. It's in your bank account. It's in your ability to earn. And God wants you to look through His eyes about this thing called giving. It's important to God. I already told you about William Borden. This is Howard Taylor, who wrote the book Borden of Yale, said of young William Borden, he won the greatest victory of all, the victory over himself. He won the victory over his environment. By some, the victory has to be won over poverty. By others, over heredity or over shame or over temptation. But Borden won the victory over an environment of wealth. He felt that life consisted not in the abundance of things a man possesseth, but in the abundance of things which possess the man. Priority in giving, prayer in giving, and people in giving. Dr. Roy Loren told the story of a Christian businessman traveling in Korea. And as this businessman and his interpreter were traveling down the road, he noticed off in a field, he noticed an elderly Korean man. He was pulling a plow. The elderly man was holding the plow. The young Korean man was pulling the plow. He was intrigued by it. He told his interpreter, he said, "Stop. Someone take a picture." Took his picture. And he said to his interpreter, he said, I guess those people are poor. And he said, "Yes, sir, they are." He said, "They're Christians, by the way." He said, "And their church that they go to is having a building program." He said, "And they sold their one and only ox to make a donation for their church building program." And now the young man pulls the plow while the old man walks behind it. The Christian businessman got real quiet for a few minutes. And he said, "I guess that was a great sacrifice for them." And the interpreter startled him by what he said next. He said, "No, sir, they didn't say that. What they said was they were thankful that they owned an ox so they could sell it and have something to be able to give back to the Lord." And Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." May God help those words be so real to us as we prepare our hearts for Faith Promise Mission Sunday. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless this message now with a response from God's people. And Lord, help us to really, truly believe it in our heart that it is more blessed to give. We have sure received an awful lot. You have given so much. And God, tonight we're not even just talking about our money. God, help somebody in this church to give their life. There are places all over this world like Mongolia that need somebody to care. God, help a young man, a young woman, maybe an older person tonight. I don't know. Lord, I don't know what you want to do at this missions conference this year. I do know this. You'll do a lot if we'll let you. So I pray for that tonight. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You've been so attentive Wednesday night, Thursday night, and tonight. And I truly thank you for it. I find the Bible to be a convicting book, don't you? And folks, I'm not in management. I'm just in sales tonight. I didn't write Acts 20, verse 35. I'm just reading it. But the one who wrote it and the one who said it is the God of the universe, who is omniscient and omnipotent. He has all knowledge. And Jesus said, you will be more blessed if you give. I pray that young couples starting families will believe that. I pray that young people looking for a mate, preparing for ministry, will believe that. I pray that some seniors in your latter days, listen, don't listen to the economist. Listen to God. Just believe Him. Let's have a great worldwide faith promise mission Sunday, because we believe that it's more blessed to give. I'm going to ask you tonight to find a place at this altar to prepare your heart for Sunday and to claim this promise and this truth and believe it and have a resolve in your heart to follow through on it. Let's quietly stand to our feet all over this auditorium. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our music